If you have your Bibles this morning, let's stand and go to the book of Psalms. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is where we're going to go this morning. If you'd stand with me, I'm just going to read a couple verses. Psalm 37. Now, as usual, we're heading into winter, and I probably don't need to say this, but I will anyhow. The question often comes up, if we have bad weather, will we cancel church? And the answer is no, I will not cancel. If I can get here, we will have church. If I can't get here, Brother Josh will probably be here, and he can preach. And if Brother Josh can't get here and Brother Al can get here, he can preach. And if Brother Al can't get here but Boone can get here, he can preach. You getting the picture? So we'll have church. But with that being said, if you are not comfortable coming out on the roads, by all means, stay home, and you can get the sermons off the website. The Sunday sermons are updated, what, Monday? So just listen to last week's, because you already forgot what I preached last week anyhow, right? And you can then listen to church on Monday. So just a little FYI. And that costs you absolutely nothing. There's no giving button on the website, is there? No, see, so you go to the website, there's no giving button, no pressure. It's better than church. No, not really. Psalm 37, verse 23, he says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Let's pray. Now, Father, as we come before you this morning, we are so ever grateful to be able to be here and to be part of this service and know that, Lord, it's the right place to be and it's the right time to be here. And, Lord, we're thankful that you have met the provisions of this church, and not just the provisions for our church, but the provisions for our missionaries, the provisions for the tract ministry, the provisions for King James Bible Society. Lord, you have done exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And, Lord, we just ask that in this new year that we would be continually faithful to you, that, Lord, we would not have any obstacles in our path that would hinder us from being here. Lord, if anything comes up in this new year that might hinder us meeting together, that you would give us wisdom and direction about what we ought to do and how we ought to do it. Thank you, Lord, for liberty and for the country we live in, Lord, that we still are able to enjoy the liberty. We pray, Lord, that we don't give up our freedoms for safety. Lord, we understand that safety is important, but freedom is of utmost importance, Lord. So we just pray for our freedom. We pray for those in authority over us this morning, that they would have wisdom, Lord, to lead us as they ought to. And pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would move in their hearts, Lord, to do right and to guide our country in the right way. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Here in Psalm 37, David has a lot to say in this psalm. It's a psalm that he has written older in his life. He has gone through a lot of things. And one thing that is for certain is as you age in the Lord, you begin to have a different perspective to things. And you can speak things with authority. Meaning, when David says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him," in verse 7, he has been in that position. He's lived it. He's fulfilled it. And he can speak about those things. And in verse 23, he goes on to say that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, of course, you go to the New Testament, and we know that there is none good, no, not one, you know, for all of sin come short of the glory of God. But he's talking about a man here that is following the Lord's direction. A good man, his steps are ordered by the Lord. Now, when you think of something that is ordered, you're looking at something that is a directive. It's a guide. It's something that the Lord wants you to do. The Lord gives us liberty. He gives us free will. Praise God for free will. And we aren't all in this systematic motion that we go through where everybody does the same thing. The Lord gives us liberty in our Christian life. But we also know if you are going to be pleasing the Lord, you need to make sure your steps are ordered by the Lord. You need to make sure that the direction you're going in is the direction that the Lord wants you to go in. Oftentimes, the great struggle in life is this what the Lord wants me to do? There's a lot of times, even in my life, that I will pray about things, and I'm not one that puts out really fleeces or things or don't want signs. But there are times when I'll be praying something, and I'll say, Lord, if you don't want this to happen, don't let it happen. Sometimes we can force things to make sure it goes through. And sometimes we can just say, okay, Lord, we just want your direction. I'm confident this is the right way. But if you don't want this to happen, stop it. And I think the Lord honors those things. I see that as direction because we all need direction. Notice he says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What constitutes the good man? What constitutes the good man is the man that's looking for the Lord's direction. He wants to go where the Lord wants him to go. Lord knows that there are many directions that we can go in this life. And not all the directions are necessarily bad, but they're not the Lord's directions. See, there's a lot of options in life that are okay, that are good, so to speak, but they're not from the Lord. So if you don't follow them, or if you don't follow what the Lord gives you, you end up in a good path, but it's not the Lord's path. And a good man is interested in being in the Lord's will, in the Lord's direction. So I want to preach to you this morning about taking the steps of a good man. Look at Psalm 119. Now, one of the things you're going to notice, Psalm 119, verse 97, the good man or woman, however you want to look at that, seeks the Lord's instruction from the Word of God on how to live. How are you going to find what you need to do outside of the Bible? You realize we are now in 2021. Think of it this way. It was not but 400 years ago, a little bit more, that Christians were forbidden to have Bibles. Christians didn't have the Word of God. You think about until the 1500s, 1600s, with Tyndale producing that first New Testament and all of the obstruction that he came into from the Roman Catholic Church to be able to produce that Bible, and it was outlawed. You couldn't have it. So, of course, the more they outlawed the Word of God, once they had it produced, the stronger the Word of God got, because people started printing them over in Germany and different places, and the Word began to go out, and more people got the Word of God. But think about before that, the Word of God in a complete book was a rarity. They didn't have it. But that doesn't mean they didn't seek the things of God. They did, but they aren't as blessed as you are. You see, you have the whole counsel of God. It's hard to believe that just 400 years ago, they didn't have the whole counsel of God. They didn't have it all. And yet, they sacrificed their lives and lived their lives to the fullest for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, you live here today, and you have the whole book. And you have multiple ways to have the book. Some of you have it, you know, in your hand. Some of you have it on your phone. Some of you have it on MP3 players. You got the Bible in many different avenues. And yet, we don't seek to follow the instruction. You see, the Bible is an instruction book to teach us how we ought to live. Psalm 119 and verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love the law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." David says that if you want to have the steps of a good man ordered, you have to go to the Word of God. You have to seek out the instruction. You know what the good man, the good believer understands? He learns that the way to get wisdom, the way to get understanding, comes through obedience. You realize that if you won't obey the Word of God, the Lord isn't going to give you wisdom and understanding. Some people have knowledge of the Bible, great knowledge of the Bible. But if you don't obey it, you won't have wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding come from obeying the Word of God. You say, what's the importance? If you want to make sure you're making the right steps in the Christian life, you ought to make sure you know the Bible. You ought to make sure you read the Bible. I shouldn't have to say this, but I will, because I know how you are, because I am the same way. You need to read the Bible every day. Every day. And you need to read it over and over and over again. It's good for you. It's good instruction. We need to be reminded of things. I carry on my phone now, since my Webster's 1828 dictionary is this big, and it's bulky. I don't like to carry it with me. I have been blessed with a Webster's 1828 app. Who knew about apps? I mean, what a technology, man. And I go in my little app and I look up my words. When I don't understand something, I want to know what that word means. So I look it up. What a blessing to be able to do something like that. You say, where do you get that word from? From the Word of God. You know, sometimes we don't always understand the Bible like we should, and sometimes you just need to get a little bit busy and do a little studying and get some instruction. You say, why? Because instruction is good. How are you going to know how to live for Jesus Christ if you're not in the book? How are we going to teach our children how to live for Jesus Christ if we don't get them in the book? We don't instruct them from the Word of God. Notice that the Word gives understanding. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. David has understanding that those around him did not. You say, why? Because he loved the Word. There's something to loving this Word that puts you in the right steps, puts you in the right direction. Notice that as you love the Word and you get that wisdom and you get the understanding, notice one of the things that it does, and this is part of being ordered by God, is you begin to hate every false way. You know, one of the side effects of obeying the Word of God is to hate falsehood. We read last week over in Proverbs, what was it, Proverbs 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Why is truth so important? You know, people today, it's all relative. No, truth isn't relative. Truth is truth. I've been reading this book by Dawkins, and he's a big evolutionist, and I don't think he considers himself an atheist. I think he considers himself more of an agnostic. But his idea of relative is, you know what, if I think this is blue and Brother Josh thinks it's brown, it's whatever we want it to be. But that's not the case. That's like going to the bank and saying, well, I think I have $1,000 in my account. And they say, no, you have a dollar in your account. Truth is not relative. Truth is truth. Falsehoods, we're to hate them. As a Christian, as you get in the Word of God, you know what you'll begin to do? You'll begin to hate things that are wrong. You'll begin to dislike the wrong direction that you are going in. You thought I was going to say what everybody else was going in, didn't you? We ought to hate the false ways that we find ourselves in first, before we start hating the false ways of others. You see, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And if you see your steps going the wrong direction, you need to hate the fact that you're not obeying the Lord. You should get upset with yourself. You know, one of the problems is people don't like conviction. They don't want to feel bad about things. Psychologists today, they convince people not to feel bad about the things they're doing. You ought to feel bad about the things you're doing if it's wrong. If it's truly not right, because a good man's steps are ordered of the Lord. You know what that means? That means he looks at the Lord's direction and he takes note to it, and he's serious about serving the Lord. Look at verse 71. You see, the Word gives understanding. It gives us direction. It teaches us. There's something about this book that is different than any other book, because it is a teaching book. It helps you understand why you're going in a different direction. Notice he says, it's good for me, Psalm 119:71. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I've got a little note here just in the side of my Bible that says, troubles teach us the truths of the Scriptures. Amen. You realize you wouldn't know the truth of the Scriptures without some trouble, without some affliction. You wouldn't know about the peace that passeth all understanding without going through some trouble. You wouldn't know what it means that my God shall supply all your need unless you were going through a time of lacking. You see, the Word of God comes true. You see, you need to understand that the Word's purpose is to give you understanding of the things that we go through, to teach us the Scripture. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You see, the Lord wants to teach you some stuff. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. He wants to lead you in the right paths. But most importantly, He wants you to trust Him. And you know, even as the Lord wants you to trust Him, He always gives, almost always, I should say, gives evidence of why we should. He gives you examples. That example may not be today. It might be a little later in life. But those examples are always there. So the Word of God is meant to give us instruction. Without the Bible, you would not know how to live. I can tell you this, that all of the Bible I've ever learned since a young boy to today, I never regretted anything I've ever learned. It's helped me live right. I have not always done what the Lord wanted me to do, but it showed me what I ought to do, and it taught me how I ought to live, and I can say that it's been good. Second of all, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What he does is he chooses the Lord's direction over his own intentions. You know, part of you being a good Christian and part of you making sure your steps are ordered of the Lord is you choosing the Lord's direction over your own intentions. One of the hard parts about being saved is the Lord does give you a free will. And with that free will, He wants you to please Him. Now, I'm of the thought that I always wanted my children to obey me because they love me. I thought that was always evidence. If you love me, you'll do what I tell you. Now, that's a good thing. Now, they didn't always do what I told them. That didn't mean they didn't love me. But I like the fact that they would choose to do right, even when maybe I wasn't watching them. Now you say, what does that mean? Sometimes they had to follow my instruction rather than their instruction. And there's times even to this day when my kids will come to me and they'll say, Dad, what about this? And they're on their own. They're grown up. You can do what you want. I don't pay your bills. You do what you want. But if you ask me, I'll tell you. And I give them some instruction, and then they have to make the decision. You see, they can't live for me, but they can seek my direction, seek my wisdom, because I want to help them. I want to be a help to them. Sometimes we think of the Lord as not wanting to be a help to us. Do you realize that the Lord's instruction, His intentions, are always for good? It's never for bad. The Lord's instruction is to lead you in the right direction. But the fact is, I have a free will, and sometimes I just want to do what I want. Notice what Solomon says here. Notice the contrast between David, who says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He's following the Lord's direction. If you read through David's life, how many times did David have options to do something he wanted to do, but he knew it wasn't the Lord's will, so he didn't do it? There's a great amount of illustrations. Twice he had opportunity to kill Saul. And rightly so, he could have. But he knew the Lord didn't want him to, so he didn't. And those are just two illustrations. Notice his son, though. Ecclesiastes 2:1, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. Behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought mine own heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom and lay hold of folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and I made servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem, and also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiceth in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Is that a man that was looking for the Lord's direction? Or was that a man that just did whatever he wanted? You wonder why Solomon had some issues as he got older. Is because he didn't refrain himself from anything. You say, what's the lesson? A good man's steps are ordered. He chooses the Lord's direction over his own intentions. Do you realize that most of these things that Solomon wrote of weren't negative, weren't bad, but they weren't of the Lord? There are some things in that list that the Lord told him not to do, and yet he did it anyhow. You see, the fact of the matter is, a good man is willing to put down his desires so that he can live for Christ. Philippians chapter 1. If you want your steps to be ordered by the Lord, then you need to make sure that you're putting down your intentions, making sure your intentions are the same as the Lord's intentions. Again, not every intention you have is wrong, but maybe it's not good for you. Maybe it's not what the Lord would have for you. Trying to figure that out sometimes is the great challenge. Here's how Paul summed it up. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. You know what he's saying? He's saying, if I go by my flesh and do what I want to do, this is the fruit of my labor. But if I go after Christ and I live as the way the Lord wants me to live, this is where the true fruit is. You see, the good man is considering what he is doing in this life to see whether or not it is pleasing to the Lord. I mean, can you earnestly or honestly say, for to me to live is Christ? Is your life truly a life for Christ? Or are you doing what you want to do? Do you consult with the Lord about everything you do? Do you ask him for permission to do it? Do you seek his wisdom in the direction you're going? I mean, if you want to say for to me to live is Christ, how's that working for you? Because if Christ is not in the foremost and in the center of every decision you make, then that means you're living for yourself. A good man's steps are ordered of the Lord. He puts the Lord's will first. He puts the Lord's direction first. She's seeking God's guidance in the decisions that she makes because it's the right thing to do. Look over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9. See, the good man doesn't make excuses for why he can't follow the Lord. He just does it. I've heard way too many excuses on why people can't do things for Jesus Christ in this life. You just need to do it. There's a lot of things I can honestly say that I really didn't want to do, but I knew it was the right thing to do. So I did it. There's been many a times that I had a direction I wanted to go, and the Lord had a direction that he wanted me to go, and I knew I needed to choose his direction. Now, I could have chose my way, but I wanted to be in the ordered steps. I wanted to be where he was. thinking about putting an addition on my store, and Sawyer came in this week and he's made some, you know, measurements, and now he's got some drawings and things that we're looking at, and there's some things that you have to consider. One of the things we have to consider is when we put this addition on, we have to blow out this wall, and if we don't have support beams put in, well, you know what's going to happen. You say, well, can you do it without support beams? I don't want beams in the middle of my sales floor. Well, okay. I'm sure, you know, Brother Chad's not going to do the wrong thing. I know that. But the point is, he's ordering what ought to be done. I'm not a builder. I know nothing about building. You know that. I can barely handle a hammer and a nail. I didn't realize there's nails for certain things. I thought nails were all just nails for anything. I got roofing nails. Roofing nails can be used for anything. Did you know that? If you come to my house, you'll find out. Roofing nails hold on siding, and they hold on. They hold on. Is it soffit that's on the top, or is that fascia? I don't care. If it's loose, you take a nail. Big old round head nail, because a round head nail is nothing to slip through a big round head nail, right? Then my wife looks at it and says, oh, that looks horrible. Because I didn't do it right. Oh, it'll work. But every time she goes by and sees that it's not done right, I'm sure she considers that her husband's an idiot. And we'd agree with that. So what I've learned is just hire the builder to come out and deal with it. And now I'm no longer the idiot. I just write a check, and that's the better thing. You say, why? Because that's just wisdom. Right? My wife doesn't ask me to fix things. Finally. Don't ask me to fix a toilet. I wouldn't even know where to begin. Pull a toilet and put a seal down and all that stuff. Oh, mercy. That's not my thing. But I suppose I could do it. But I guarantee you that toilet's not going to sit right. Look at Luke chapter 9. The good man doesn't make excuses for what he ought to do when it comes to following the Lord. You know, one of the things that the Lord wants you to do, and everything the Lord wants you to do, are things that you can do. He doesn't ask you to do things you can't do. My wife had the ceiling redone in the bathroom, and my wife's much more handy than I am. Much more. And so in the course of redoing the bathroom, they took out the ceiling vent thing and the light thing and all that stuff. And she didn't even ask me to put it up. Amen. You know what she's learned? It'd be a disaster. So this week, she gets herself, I brought the ladder, and she gets up on the ladder and puts it up. It's what she can do. I can't do it. You say, oh, you can learn. No. There's some things you just can't learn to do. Amen? You should know your limitations. Don't laugh, Suzanne. It's true. You should know your limitations. What I'm driving at is the Lord doesn't ask you to do something that you can't do. Notice here in Luke chapter 9 and verse 57, it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He says, okay, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And the Lord says, I don't have a house. You want to follow me still? Well, that's not unheard of. Sleep out in the open air. Anybody can do that. It's not going to be comfortable. But anybody can do that, right? Notice what he says. Verse 59, he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And he said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You say, well, that's terrible. But anybody can do that. Anybody can say, okay, you know what? There's nothing I can do for my father. He's passed, but I can go out and preach the gospel. The Lord's just testing his intentions. That's what he's doing. He's checking them out. Jesus said, verse 61, they said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He says, go forward, don't look back. You say, well, that's not fair. You don't get to say goodbye. The Lord's checking your intentions. Are you willing? Remember Elijah Elijah walks by Elisha. Elisha's out there plowing, and all Elijah does is throws his mantle upon Elisha's back. And Elisha stops, and he says, okay, I'm going to follow you. And what he does, he takes his oxen and kills them and feeds the people and follows Elisha. Elijah said, what are you doing? Why are you following me? As if, you know, the intention wasn't there. But the fact was, he did what he could. And you know what Elisha did his whole life? He just served Elisha. I'm getting them all confused. Elisha served Elijah. That's all he did, was just his servant. He washed his hands. He took care of him. And then when it was time, the Lord made Elisha the prophet. You say, what are you trying to say? Those are men that chose the Lord's direction over their own. And there's no excuse for not following the Lord. Just follow Him. If you want to have your steps ordered, don't make excuses why you can't do it. Because maybe what you're doing is not what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. A good man understands the importance of following the Lord's direction. He understands that everything he ought to be doing, or everything he's doing, I should say, is to glorify Christ. Do you realize that everything you do in this life ought to be done to glorify Christ? At your job, you should be the best worker there is. Learn, show up on time, do a good job. Why? Because you're a Christian. You say, well, I don't like my boss, and I don't like this. Do it for the Lord. Say, wait a minute, but he's not the Lord. Yeah, but do it for the Lord anyhow, because that's what the Lord says to do. Do you realize the Christian life is about just living your life for Christ? And that whether that's work, or whether that's shopping, or whether it's, you know, whatever it is. This whole mask debate thing, you know what? The fact of the matter is, if you want to wear a mask, don't. If you do, whatever. But you know what? Sometimes it's not worth making a spectacle for the cause of Christ. Sometimes you just got to just do it just because you don't want to get in a feud. Because what benefit is that feud? I know we have rights. I know we have freedom. I know we have direction. But what good is that for Christ? Do what you want. I don't care. Colossians 3:23, but this is what I care about. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Do it for the Lord. You know why? Because the steps of a good man are ordered. We follow the Lord's direction in all our life because we're doing it for the Lord, not for man. Look at Psalm 1. The steps of a good man are ordered. He chooses the Lord's direction over his own intentions, and he follows the Lord's leading over the world. I'll tell you, it is hard sometimes not to follow the world's direction. The world has an agenda. It really does. It's hard not to follow what the world is doing. We need to be able to stand for Christ. So you got a conflict. Did you ever notice sometimes living for Christ is a conflict? Because you got the world going one direction. You're trying to live for Christ. And yet the Lord says, you know, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men, but don't be a compromiser. See how that kind of works. We need to be careful. If we're going to follow the steps of the Lord, we need to make sure that we're not letting the world get in the way. Blessed is the man, Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Notice that this blessed man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He sees the danger of surrounding himself with worldly influence without biblical instruction. You understand, you're in the world. Paul says we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. So how do you go in the world and not be taken over by worldly influence? by having biblical instruction. That's why you can go out and work with lost people and not let them influence you. But you have to go to work. Amen? So you know what you do? You don't let them influence you. How do you keep them from influencing you? Biblical instruction. Because, listen, this is a different world than our forefathers had. The Christians of Paul's time did not live like we live today. They didn't have the obstructions that we have today. They didn't have the worldly influence that we have today. It is a different world. But that doesn't mean that we can't learn to be in the world, but not of the world. Notice what David says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You know what that man is? That's a comfortable man right there. He's comfortable with walking and sitting and standing in the wrong influence. So you need to be careful. You need to make sure that you keep yourself from what's going on in the world. Look at Proverbs 1. If you want to walk in the steps that the Lord has laid out for you, maybe you're not interested in that. I'm going to tell you, if you're not interested in walking in the good steps that the Lord's laid out, there'll be repercussions. At least repercussions at the judgment seat of Christ. Because you might go through this life and everything will be okay, but if it wasn't the Lord's direction that you were seeking, you'll lose it at the judgment seat of Christ. So you need to be careful about the world's influence. Notice what he says there in Proverbs 1:10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." You know what the world does? It wants to entice you. It wants to lead you away. It wants to lead you into its own direction. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He doesn't get wrapped up in worldly wisdom. He doesn't get wrapped up in the enticing of the world. How many people have been enticed by the world and it's gone to cost them? Christians have lost everything because they were enticed by the world. Look at Mark chapter 4. The good man follows the Lord's leading over the world's leading. The world will tell you, listen, you need an education. You need a house. You need the speedboat. You need to have the camping trailer. You need to have all this stuff. Why? Why does the world tell you that? So you'll spend money. I mean, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he is going out buying a camper. And he's going to spend $30,000 on a camper that, you know, how often is he going to use that? I don't know, 15-year note. You say, why do you need it? Because the world says to enjoy life, you need to go camping. Is there anything wrong with camping? No, nothing wrong with camping. I'm not camping. You can camp. I'm not going to camp. If I was going to camp, I'd have a $30,000 trailer. But that's not what the Lord wants from me. It's not, because I don't need to camp. I don't need to do all the things that the world says you need to do to enjoy life. Isn't that what the world's always doing, is saying things that you need to do to enjoy life? Well, whoever said that those were necessary? There's a lot of things I don't do, but I enjoy life. I just enjoy living for the Lord. Enjoy doing the few things that I can do for Him. Sure, it'd be nice to be able to go here and go there. I've got two snowmobiles sitting in my garage that are my dad's that I could drive anytime I want. You know how often I drive those snow machines? Never. Because I've got other things that need to be done. Does that make sense? Because the world's influence says, well, you need to clear your head. You need to go out there and relax a little bit. Well, I'd probably hit a tree. No probablys. I would hit a tree. Look at, where did I say to go? Mark 4. Naomi sent me a picture, Boone and her and little Tobiah went snowmobiling yesterday, and it's the cutest little picture. I'm glad they had fun. There's nothing wrong with any of that. You understand, having a boat, there's nothing wrong with having a boat. There's nothing wrong with having a snow machine. There's nothing wrong with any of it. If the Lord lets you have it, enjoy it, right? Just make sure that your steps are ordered in that direction. You see, I have a different life than you do. So for me to get up in the pulpit and say, well, you can't have any enjoyment, would be foolish just because there's certain things I can't do. I mean, I got a thing in the mail the other day for a cruise, Carnival cruise. I used to love cruising, going on cruises, but now I've got so many things that have to be done. Who's got time? I'd like to do it. I'd like to travel a little, not much. I don't want to travel, let's face it. Going to Midland is a chore anymore. But the point is, there's nothing wrong with those things if the Lord is ordering it. The Lord directs us in different things. And some of us can't do what everybody else does. But that's okay. Don't judge them either way. Just make sure you are making sure you're not being influenced by the world. Because here's what happens. Mark 4:19, in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. See that? There's the problem. It chokes the word and you become unfruitful. The Christian knows, the Christian that's trying to live for the Lord knows that if he gets entangled with the world, he becomes unfruitful. So I try not to get entangled. You want to go the steps of a good man, then you won't entangle yourself because you know it's going to make you unfruitful. The question is, do you want to have some fruit at the judgment seat of Christ? Look at back over to Proverbs, or Psalms, I'm sorry, back over to Psalm 37, second part of this verse. When it comes to the steps of a good man, he knows that they're ordered of the Lord, and here's something you need to get a handle on. I never really got this early on in the Christian life. I have a good understanding of it now. But Psalm 37, 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know what you know? This is what I know now. You can be following the Lord's direction and still fall. That doesn't mean you're not going to sin anymore. It doesn't mean you can be going in the Lord's direction and make a mistake and fall. That's okay. You get back up. That's what makes the difference. The Christian life is all about following the Lord, and the Lord knows you're going to fall. Notice how David says, though he fall. It's not an assumption, it's a fact. He says, I know you're going to fall, but the good thing is the Lord upholdeth him. When you're in the Lord's steps, the Lord holds you up. It's like when Timmy was younger and he was walking without his crutches. There's many a times he was walking and we'd hold his hand and he'd fall while we were holding on to him. So we drug him up. That's why one arm is longer than the other. The point is, he stayed close to us and we knew he would fall, but that's okay. We caught him. When you're living for the Lord, you're going to fall. But that's okay, because the Lord's going to catch you, because you're still a sinner. Look at Proverbs 24. Quit getting down on yourself when you fall and say, oh man, I'm not in the Lord's will anymore. Listen, you can still be in the Lord's will, just get up. You made a mistake, you sinned, you did wrong, okay, that's fine. Get up. Don't stay down. The good man follows the Lord's direction and he's still able to sin. Notice there in Proverbs 24, verse 16, for a just man falleth seven times. How many times have you fallen this week? That's okay. He riseth up again. That doesn't mean you're not in the steps of the Lord. It just means you fell. Confess it. Get it under the blood of Christ. And live for the Lord. That's okay. You know what? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he riseth again. The Lord upholdeth him. Just get up. Notice in Luke 22, we can be following the Lord and doing right, and we're going to fall. And sometimes we're going to fall hard. And when you fall hard, sometimes you're going to have to weep over your sin. And you're going to have to weep over your failure. But you know what you find here with Peter? And Peter commits one of the worst things that you could do. He denies the Lord not once, not twice, but three times. Does he just quit? Does he stop? Does he just throw in the towel? He denies the Lord, verse 60, Luke 22:60. He said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." Immediately while he spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. He cried over what he did. But you know what? When it was all said and done, when Jesus resurrects from the dead, who went to that tomb? Peter. Who outran John and went inside the tomb? Peter. Who was there on the day of Pentecost and preached when 3,000 people turned to the Lord? Peter. You say, what do you learn? You learn that sometimes we fall, and sometimes when we fall, the sin that we commit is grievous, and it hurts, and we weep over it because it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. But we get back up, and we keep living for Christ. A good man doesn't let his sin keep him from living for Christ. A good man says, all right, I've sinned, I've done wrong, Lord, forgive me, but I'm going to get back up. You know, when David writes that, he writes that after Bathsheba. I mean, he committed a grievous sin, murder, adultery. He didn't quit. Yeah, he fell. Yeah, he paid the price. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't stop walking in the good paths. Back over to Psalm. Let's close this out. Psalm 37. The last thing about the good man is this, is that he delights himself walking in the Lord's way. Delight, I had to look it up because I wasn't sure exactly what it meant. So here's what it says. Delight is a more permanent pleasure than joy. And it's not dependent on sudden excitement. Joy is the result of something that happens suddenly and you have joy out of it. But delight is something that is more permanent. It continues, it goes on and on. Notice what he says there in Psalm 37. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. He delights walking in the Lord's way. You know what the evidence of a good man is? A good woman living for the Lord? Is you enjoy walking in the Lord's way. You know what? He enjoys the Christian life. He enjoys living for Christ. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. I can say for all the years I've been saved and all the years I've been living for the Lord, and there's been some ups and there's been some downs, by all means. Everybody has them. I can say that the Christian life has never been a burden. There's been a lot of things that were hard, a lot of things that were trying. But now I look back and it's a blessing. Look what he says there in verse 25. I have been young and am now old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David writes this in old age. He writes these things being able to see the fruit of it now. Well, now after almost 30 years this year, I can now say I can see the fruit of it. Because I'm old. I mean, believe it or not, when I started here, I was 20. 20. I can't even... 20. What is 20? How old are you, Vanessa? 19. So she'll be 20 this year. I mean, I was 20. I can't even begin to think about that. Now I'm 50. I look back and I think, that's true. You know what? I've never seen the Lord forsake the righteous. Haven't seen it. I can't give you an example of anybody that's lived for the Lord and put the Lord first where the Lord forsook them. Can't, I can't, I'm telling you after 30 years of example, I can't think of anybody. I've seen it. I've seen it more than the average person does. You say, what's the point? When you delight yourself walking in the Lord's way, it brings greater joy to know that it's true. See, when you're younger, they have to trust that it's true. But when you're older, and if you've been doing it for as long as I have, you can give the testimony that it's true. Though he fall, he shall not be cast down. Oh, Lord knows how many times I've fallen and the Lord hadn't cast me down. The Lord, when I fall, he never kicked me and beat on me. His hand was always there to pull me back up. If I wanted that hand was there. That hand was there. There's not a day that I don't go by now since my back has been bad. Anytime I walk on ice, I'm asking the Lord, don't let me fall, don't let me fall, don't let me fall. And generally, I don't fall. Sometimes I do. But that's okay, because I get back up. You say, well, the Lord didn't catch you. Well, of course he didn't catch me. It's not supernatural. But if I pay attention to what I'm doing, I probably won't fall. Isn't that really what the Christian life is all about? It's understanding what you ought to do and what you ought not to do, because we delight in it. Look at Philippians 4. We'll close with this. The good man understands that living for Christ is the only life that gives contentment. There's nothing else that can give contentment. Nothing. Now that I'm older, now that I'm able to do a lot more things than I used to when I was younger, I've realized that, you know what, all the things that the world offers doesn't bring contentment. I don't even want it now. You say, why? Because I learned that the good steps are what brings contentment. I'm more satisfied with me doing what the Lord wants me to do, being sensitive to His leading, sensitive to His direction, and making sure I'm going in the right place. Because that means more to me than buying a new vehicle, a summer home, being able to travel, just making sure I'm right where the Lord wants me. Notice what Paul says here in verse 11, Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. The steps of a good man lead to contentment. Right where I ought to be. I remember early on in the ministry, I thought, well, I'll start here and then the Lord will take me to another church. And I was so discontented. So discontented. I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy where the Lord had me. But you know, as I continued in those steps, then I realized, you know what? This is where the Lord wants me. Now I'm content. Took a while. Sometimes when you're walking in the steps of the Lord, you miss what He's trying to show you. You're still in the right steps, but you haven't grown yet. That's the thing about growth. The Christian life is all about growth, about being content. You see, he delights himself in the way of the Lord. The good man can look back and he can now see his testimony and he can see what the Lord's done. And he says, yeah, when I was young, this is how it was. And now I'm old and I've not seen the Lord give up on anybody. I've seen a lot of people give up on the Lord. I've seen too many quit. Too many. Too many people that have fallen on the wayside because they just chose to quit letting the Lord order their steps. But a good man, his steps are ordered. He makes sure he's going in the right direction until he gives his last breath. What a blessing it is when I'm able to do a funeral for someone when they've lived for the Lord for many, many, many years and I don't have to make up stories about them. Amen. Some of you, I'm going to be able to do a funeral for you and I'm going to be able to just tell the truth about how you lived for the Lord and you did right and you overcame things because you made sure your steps were ordered. Because that's what the Lord wants. He just wants us to be obedient. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we're thankful for your goodness and your mercy in regard to following your direction. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this book, this sweet book, Lord, that's able to guide us in all things. Lord, give us understanding where the world that can't even begin to comprehend it. Lord, as we come before you, that's what we want. We want that understanding. We want to make sure that we're continuing in your steps. And Lord, though we fall, and we will, Lord, we know that we won't be utterly cast down. We know that your hand is there to pick us up. And Lord, we're thankful for that, that you don't give up on us. Help us, Lord, not to give up on you. Lord, help us to continue to move forward in the Christian life, doing for you as you want us to, living for you according to the word. Lord, if there's someone here today that's struggling in living for you, I pray today be the day that they just surrender to just put you first, to just walk those steps, Lord, and walk them in all confidence that this is the right thing. If there's someone here, Lord, today that's not saved, has never put their trust in Jesus Christ, Lord, I just pray for them this morning that they'd realize they need to get saved. Lord, without you, they're on their way to hell. They have no hope. They're alone in this world without hope and without God. And Lord, if there is one today, today'd be a great day to see that person put their trust in you. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we prepare for an invitation. I wonder this morning, are you delighting in the steps of the Lord? Have you let the Lord order your steps so that you're doing what he wants you to do? That's all it's about. All the days of your life, just letting the Lord direct you as you would have him. If you're not doing that this morning, it's time you just yield it over to him. Just give it to him. Just say, okay, Lord, here am I. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to live for you the way you want me to live. No more selfish intentions. No more being directed by the world. I'm just going to follow you. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and deal with it. Maybe there's someone here today that's not saved. Maybe there's someone here that has been going through their life and never really considered what it means to be saved. What it means to be saved is just simply you realize that you're a sinner and you realize that without Christ, I'm going to go to hell. But I don't have to. Jesus Christ died for me and I want to trust him so that I can live for him. Maybe if there's someone here this morning that raise their hand and say, preacher, you know what? I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ. Pray for me. I just need to do the right thing first. And the first thing I need to do is get saved. Anyone at all? Say, pray for me, preacher. I need to get saved. All right, Father, we just pray for these folks. I pray for this invitation that you'd have your way in it. Lord, direct your people in such a way, Lord, that they not only make decisions for you today, but that they would begin to live those decisions this afternoon. And Lord, begin to forge a path that is led by you. Lord, they get behind you and they would follow your steps and make sure that everything they do is considering your will for them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and